quite a summer. The big headlines all summer long, so many of the events staged, state propaganda, the communists and the socialists and the anarchists in the streets. The best commentary on those demonstrators came from a Catholic writer who said, "And not a one of them ever had a father who attended church." That's worth thinking about. And of course, much saber rattling about war, the destruction of public statues, and of private liberties, the reinforcement of historical myths, Lincoln say, and withal, Islam, quietly or noisily with bloodshed, marches forward to claim our country now that they've pretty much got Christian Europe under the hijab. And then there's the earthquake in Mexico and the hurricanes, one after another. Such worry for all those folk, such suffering. Even the weather shows the punishment for sin, starting with original sin. What's a body to do? Well, walk in the Spirit. That's what. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. St. Paul means here more than the four sins of the flesh he starts out with. Bergoglio, Pope Francis, dismissed them the other day as not so important. But look, they have ripped apart the family and turned society in our time upside down. But St. Paul broadens the category. He means the sins of nature, our fallen nature, the old man. And especially he's concerned about those which endanger the charity and the unity that should bind us together in the church. 8 out of 17 go in that category. Nor does our work, rather the work of the Holy Ghost in us, stop there. There are the 12 fruits of the Holy Ghost we study in our lesson on confirmation. They are to be cultivated in daily life. That means to live in a supernatural way, from love to a generous, gentle forbearance and a trusting faith, such as those people in the streets this summer never learned or quickly forgot. Now, this is the work of the Spirit, our Lord's Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost. God, the Holy Ghost, he's for you. He's on your side. He loves you so much. He wants the best for you. But there's another spirit, the evil spirit, Satan, the liar from the beginning. He will try to twist the truth, to weaken your faith, to make you wander into sin, and then, having done his damage, he'll weasel out of any blame, suggesting why we should accuse God or each other. How often people say, "How could a good God allow this or that suffering to come about?" But the truth is that God doesn't cause these things. We live in a sinful, fallen world, and nature these days betrays, as I say, the truth of this. Sin is the only evil. It's our free choice. We go against God. But why do we do it? Well, you know, it's easy to forget this, but we are influenced by the devil. He wants to destroy our faith and to carry off our souls as so many trophies. Never doubt, though, that God is for you. Never doubt that the Holy Ghost, his own spirit, is in you by sanctifying grace right now. or at least by actual grace and all of those helps. Look, gentleness, patience to your neighbor and to yourself. Satan is the real enemy. He has no love for us, but an enduring hatred. The clearer we are about God's goodness and Satan's malice, the more we will be able to resist. But if God is all-powerful, why does the devil seem to get the upper hand so often? Because St. Paul speaks about sorcery or magic. He does his magic trick, his sleight of hand. He gets our eyes off our Lord. And it's just deception, that's all. Now, how can you tell? Right in the crunch, the moment when Satan is snookering you, tripping you, when you meant to be walking in the Spirit. Well, let's borrow something from the business world. Some of our young people work in Amazon warehouse or at Kroger's. In business, they have a principle, FIFO it's called. First in, first out. The oldest merchandise must be the first to be moved. I was reading this summer on vacation that some say there's a similar spiritual principle. Geiso, they call it. Have you ever heard of it? God in, Satan out. There's even a three-step process that we can follow to make it work. And the first step is the first moment of the morning. We pray. Hail Mary. Why is it important to say that particular prayer? Because, says St. Louis de Montfort, the Hail Mary is bound up with the salvation of each individual. Because Mary is full of God's own Spirit, gratia plena, full of grace, the Holy Ghost. And her job is to bring it to us not once in far ago Bethlehem, but always to bring us the blessed fruit of her womb, Jesus. How to escape yesterday's worries and weaknesses, to root out, to untangle the depths of deception and sometimes depression? Call upon Mary, look upon the star, says our Saint Bernard. Remember, she is the undoer of knots. Mother of God, she is your mother too. Yield yourself to God with her help. Walk with her, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Second, that sacred scripture often says, the holy rule of St. Benedict quotes this, and your mother says it too. Listen, Proverbs 4:20. Listen, son, incline the ear of thy heart. Listen. That's what you do when you pray. It's not just a matter of what you say. Think of the rosary, the all-night adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, First Fridays, spiritual reading, Holy Mass itself. Pause and give the Holy Ghost a moment to speak to you, to give you walking directions. You might even hear something. You might get a word from God. And if you do, stay with it. I was corresponding recently with a woman whose dear friend has left the church to be a Protestant, and now she spurns the rosary and the rest of it as just so many man-made rules. Well, the word that she got was Dominic. She wanted to know what that meant. In other words, be a Dominic. You bring your friend back by gentle, persuasive, persevering discussion and argument. But most of all, say the rosary for her. Third, all day long, whenever you get a thought, and we're always thinking, ask yourself, now, does this build up or divide? Is it something positive, or is it selfish and angry, just leaving sadness in its wake? And that principle is called Giso, G-I-S-O, God in, Satan out. Breathe. Take time to breathe. You'll feel better with a little oxygen in your lungs. Before you respond, I mean, even in the very depths of passion. Breathe God in. Breathe the devil out. Breathe with a one-word prayer, the names Jesus, Mary. Reject Satan's advertising. Tell yourself, that's nothing. That's just a thought. It has no power over me. Remember the exorcism of Saint Benedict. This is a loose translation from the Latin. It's a good prayer to know by heart. Satan, get behind me. Persuade me not to vanity. You only offer bad to me. Drink the poison, you, not me. The Holy Cross be light to me. Never the devil, my leader be. Amen. It is a battle to walk in the Spirit, yes. But it's so easy to slip, isn't it? Yes. To lose your footing. But if you watch your breathing, you'll do fine. Pray. Listen. Breathe. God in. Satan out. How do you keep your eyes on God and walk right? Watch your breathing. The rest will follow. You will follow the promptings of the Spirit. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.